I don't have any rocks. Tom thanked me for that, by the way. So we're not going to stack rocks this morning or anything like that. No wheelbarrows or anything like that. But I'd like you to listen to a song. Robert, if we can have enough volume just that you can hear the words. Can you hear?
I had a tree once. Didn't like where it grew. At the edge of my garden. Hard for the sun to get through. So I cut it back one day. Then again in a month. I really thought it was gone. Didn't have such luck. And this went on for 3 or 4 years. This war with the tree. It always found a way to get around me. There's a force of life, an urge in deepest night that wants to keep going, wants to keep growing, pushing up, pushing up, pushing up to the light. In my darkest hours, there have been many, it seems. Don't know how I can keep going. Don't have the ways or the means. Then I think of that tree. Now stands 50 feet tall. She fought hard against the axe, and she pushed through it all. She bends in the storm. Her branches gracefully sway. This old sycamore tree, the one that got away. There's a force of life, an urge in deepest night that wants to keep going, wants to keep growing, pushing up, pushing up, pushing up to the light. Sleep in the woods, massive trunks gray and scarred. They can hear each other's sighs. I think they're grateful for where they are. You settled alone. You know how the days dream of nights. You floated here upon the wind. Your one and only magic flight. You make me smile. Can a tree smile too? If you could speak for just one day, what words would you choose? There's a force of life, an urge in deepest night that wants to keep going, wants to keep growing, pushing up, pushing up. Pushing up to the light. Pushing up. Pushing up. Pushing up to the light.
The tree that got away. Psalms chapter 1. Now, I'm going to do my very best to stay up here just to see if I can do it, probably as much as anything. I'm very much used to a music stand on the ground floor, but it seems to me, now you're getting a little bit of an insight into what I like in music. I apologize if you don't like that style of music, but there's a force of life. An urging deep as night to keep growing, want to keep growing, pushing up. What's going on in us? What pushes us forward? Do you want to keep going? Or are you ready to quit? Anybody ever been ready to quit? besides me? Somewhere I have Psalms 1. You're probably all there. There we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. Thank you, God, that you are worthy of all praise. Thank you for your grace in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you help me communicate what you put inside of me to communicate. Give us ears to hear, and let us respond to your word as you would have us respond. Not as I might hope or anything else, but as you would have. I ask this in Jesus' name. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, or channels of water, or rivers, in some translation, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." Now, if you're wondering who wrote that particular little song, his name is Tim Grimm, Grimm with a double M. He's kind of we were trying to figure out, I was asking what kind of genre that would be, and I'm not real sure. It's not really country, it's not rock and roll, and it's certainly kind of folky, I guess, probably. But he writes about life. I like listening to music that people embrace life. This is just the way it is, and they embrace those things. I like things that challenge me to stop and consider what's really important. And so today, let's talk about, do we get the tree? Oh, there he is, the tree that got away. So let's talk about the tree that got away, and let's talk about the tree. You see, you and I are the trees that have gotten away. At some point, the enemy tried to lay the axe to you. But somehow, by the grace of God, here you are. And it's not so much that here you are in attendance, though those of us who speak appreciate that greatly. But that here you are in life, wherever life has you at this point, whatever season you're in, here you are, you're the tree that got away. Now the book of Psalms here, starting out verses 1 through 3 in chapter 1, I want to give you my first really, really deep insight into this scripture, okay? Very important. You probably should take notes. Verse 3 is preceded by verses 1 and 2. Okay? What do you mean? We so often want the result, but we sometimes don't look at the way we get there. So if we want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I almost started to sing to you the chorus. I won't do that to you. But if we wanted to do that, then we would need to look at verses 1 and 2. And they say, "Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of sinners, set in the seat of the scornful, and his delight is in the law of the Lord." Say, "Well, Ray, that's Old Testament." I know it is, but it's still true. The principle is there. You know what the word prosper means? Is to push up, to break out, to reach forth. So if we are to keep going, if we are to continue to escape the axe of sometimes the schemes that are laid against us, I know that may sound for some, well, you mean you really believe there's an enemy, a spiritual enemy that's out to mess us up? Let me say it theologically. Yes, absolutely. We have an enemy. And it's not flesh and blood. The scripture says that we wrestle against power, spiritual wickedness in high places, not against each other. So the elder in this church that you like least, who happens to come to you and ask you about an attitude you had, is not your enemy. The sermon that's preached that you're quite sure was something somebody told that preacher and it's all about you, you're so quiet. That poor preacher isn't your enemy. Your enemy, you have a spiritual enemy, and he's out to do you in. Now, I will make this assumption today. I believe it's probably safe. He didn't keep you out of the kingdom. The axe didn't work. But, you know, preachers, pastors, teachers, whatever we are, those of us that speak, we all have a certain passion. And really, we're good for about three sermons. We just have to make them different so that you keep listening. But that's really what we're good for. My passion, if you want to know, my passion as when I pastored, my passion when I study, my passion for everything I do is to grow up and see people that I get the opportunity to input into, if I do, to see them grow up and prosper in God and enjoy what's been purchased for them. We've heard it said, Joe spoke about it, Pastor Joe spoke about it and has alluded to it so many times. But my conviction is that if the enemy can't get you out of the, keep you out of the kingdom when you're in, then what he wants to do is just make a mess of it in your life so that you may have all this wonderful thing and yet you don't even enjoy it. We are like people living in a house, and there's a buried treasure in that house. And every once in a while, we find a little coin. And often we just sit down and say, look at what I found, not realizing that that coin is just something to get you to look a little further. So this morning we're going to be the tree that got away. I want to speak to you about growing up, about prospering in God, growing up. What's it going to take? How are we going to? You say, Ray, I've been in the kingdom for 40 years. How am I going to grow anymore? Well, bless God. Welcome aboard. So have I. I still have a lot of growing to do. I believe God's not finished. In fact, for me personally, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God that my very best days are yet ahead. Still out there, still to be experienced. Still somehow, what was it? Was it a week ago, just last week that we had the men's breakfast and the Blue Sky Ranch brother spoke? I loved the way he described his dad, that, you know, he's kind of the bionic man. He's got two new knees, one new elbow, a fake toe, and something else, you know. He said, a pacemaker, and that he's been told that when the pacemaker quits, he's over, it's done. And his illustration of his dad's response was great, was, that'll be great, because when that quits, then God's done with me. When God is done with me, I'll just stop breathing. I was with my chiropractor the other day, just yesterday, actually, or day before yesterday. And we were talking. He said, well, I hear you're going to retire. And I said, well, yeah, from insurance. I'm going to retire from insurance. And he said, I just think when I show up some morning and there's nobody in the waiting room, I'll figure God's done with me. And I thought, what a good attitude. What a good attitude. Grow. Prosper, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bring forth your fruit in your season. You know, some of the most productive, incredible grapevines are the old ones. The ones that have weathered the storm. The ones that have seen anything, just about everything that weather can throw at them. And some say, I'm in churches all the time, only from the insurance side of the plate. And I meet with boards and we, you know, among ourselves, we talk about the blue hair churches. Now, I don't mean to insult anyone, but it's just churches in America, everybody's getting old. And I'm in churches that the only reason they're open is they had somebody give them a bunch of money years ago and they're able to just keep turning the crank. And they come in and they keep the place clean and they go on. And I don't want to be that way personally. And I know you don't either, or you wouldn't be here. Can I be productive to the end? Can I love God? Can I worship God? Can I touch lives to the end? Can I enjoy what has been purchased for me at such an incredible price. Well, let's do it. Pastor Joe's gone, but we're going to do an acrostic. Grow. You've got to do this, you know, because if I don't, I might not ever get to preach again if he hears I preached and I didn't stack rocks or do an acrostic. So, okay. Grace. Grow, first thing, if you're going to grow, you need grace. The grace of God. If you want to survive the axe, we've got to find grace. But we've got to expand on our thinkings about grace. Look with me to 2 Corinthians, please. And I know we made fun after the first time I preached here a few months back. One of the things that I said is I couldn't see the clock. And the next Sunday I showed up and there is a clock that even I can read. And that's fun, but we laugh. Next service, they're going to go, because I went too long. I preached too long second service, and I had them kind of, come on, say it or get done. And my wife is not here yet. Is Char back there? Not yet. She was in the back doing this. I pastored for 30 years altogether, probably, off and on, for sure 30. And we developed a communication, Char and I, because she's, you know, I'm a country boy, grew up in the country, grew up and always, you know, tried very hard not to sound like a Kansan, tried to, you know, appear, I called it pseudo-intellectualism, you know, I tried to do and sound the right way. And so then God called us into the ministry and we got going, and I'm long-winded, and Char would sit in the church and we'd be sitting, and if I looked back and she was doing this, that meant wrap it up. You've gone from preaching to dribbling. And so, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. Verses 6 through 8, I believe. Now I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Hang on. It's there. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one of you do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, there was an old revivalist preacher that I've known. He's home with the Lord now. His name was Jim Salvador. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. He'd been around forever, but he was in the Christian circles, he was the king of the one-liners. He had a one-liner for everything. And his definition of all always jumped out at me. And he said it this way. When you see the word all, here's the definition. All means all, and that's all means. So when he says God can make all grace abound to you as such as you need it, so that you may be equipped for every good deed, that means he will make it available, grace. We need God's grace. But if we could, can we expand that? When we say grace, usually my initial kick-in is unmerited favor, correct? It's something I didn't deserve, there's no way I could earn it. God's unmerited favor in my life. And I say, yes, amen, thank you, but expand, because the word means more than that. It also means divine enablement. Not only is it grace that gives you what you didn't deserve, it's grace that enables you to do what you can't. But to enable you to do what you can't do on your own. Can I always pull it off and serve God? No. But grace says I can. Do I always get it right? Seldom. But grace says you can. Grace. Grow. Grow, grow, grace. Who was it? William Wiersbe or one of those guys on radio that's long gone? Grow in grace so you won't groan in disgrace. I think that was his saying, one of them. You say, you listened to some weird people. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Grow, grow. Divine enablement, strength to do what you need done. Let me give you a reference. You look it up on your own, or you'll be kind of wanting going, come on, Ray, get there. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I've done more than, I've gotten busy, I've done more. I'm paraphrasing. I've done more than the rest of them, yet not I, but the grace that works within me. Grace is working. It's doing something within me. So it's not just sitting back and saying, as we can, yes, grace that I don't deserve a thing, but also grace that gives me the ability to do whatever it is God's called me to do. R. Reach. I've got two R's. Did they put? Yeah, they're both there. Reach and risk. If we want to grow, we're going to have to reach. Pushing up, pushing up, pushing up, the song, to the light. To the light. I love to garden. I love to grow things. Sometimes I'm pretty good. Sometimes I'm pretty pathetic. But I love it. I don't know what retirement will look like. Everybody asks me, well, what are you going to do? And my first response is, have you seen the list my wife has? Do you know how much I need to get done? And my neighbor came over, who also retired from Church Mutual several years ago, and he said, well, what are you going to do, Ray? Paint the house? And I said, well, that's one thing. Yeah, I need to do that. And he said, oh, you need to hire that done. And I said, well, why? He said, well, yeah, you got to take care of yourself. You're old. You may get hurt. You know, you got to take care. And he's my age. And I'm going, I don't feel old. The body complains a lot that it didn't in places that it didn't used to, but I don't feel old. And so I think I'll paint my house just the same, no matter what he said. But reach and risk. What are you reaching for? What are you willing to risk? I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I don't have a word from God to tell you, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Let me say this. What is in your heart? Down in your heart of hearts. Now, don't say, escape my job. You know, I understand that. But put all that aside. What? When you're quiet. And it may not be doing. It may be being. What is it inside of you that you'd like to see the wires connect? You know, one of the greatest privileges I've ever had in my life in terms of pastoring is to have the privilege of sitting with someone or preaching or talking. Usually it's not preaching. It's usually sitting with someone, and you see the wires connect and the light comes on. You know what? You can put up with almost anything in the ministry when you see that. If that's what really grabs you, and that's what has always grabbed me. So what do you do? What's inside of you? Where do the wires need to come together? Are you saying I'm lacking, Ray? Yes, but I am too. So we're all in good company. We're in the same boat. Reach, reach, reach. Philippians. Chapter 3, please. 12 through 14, very familiar. I figure if Paul can write this, there's probably room for me. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I want to lay hold. Paul's saying, I want to embrace what God embraced me for. Now, that's passion. And I know passion will only get you so far, but you need a little bit of it. But Paul's going, I want to embrace. What has God... I can't do it. I got to come down. What has God laid hold of you for? You know what God laid hold of me for? To learn to be a godly husband. I was called to be a husband before I was called to preach. Now, your situations are different, but that for me, to be a dad, to be a pastor, sure, but we get them out of order so often. And marriages and families and fall apart in the ministry, and it's so sad, and it's so often, it's just because we just get caught up in the and forget about those around us. I loved a man I used to work with. He was an Englishman. He's dead. He's home with the Lord now. But he was a part of an apostolic movement that started in England, and he would come to the United States, and it was during some of the charismatic, you know, high points and stuff, and he would talk to pastors, and he'd sit down with a pastor and his wife, and they would be talking, and you know, the pastor, you know, talking about the wife having the little kid in the back, you know, your son's in the back with a runny nose, and you're up here preaching the power of God, and he said, "Wife, honey, when he does the altar call, take that runny-nosed kid and bring him right to the altar and say, 'Pastor, heal him.'" He said, "What? What?" "Yeah, bring reality back to your husband and your pastor. Let him put his hands on his own kid. Let him realize not every time does it work. It's great in the pulpit, but get down here with your own family." And you can just watch the pastors in the room kind of go, get real. Be real. You're called to relationship. And for many of us, for me, it was to be a husband first before I was a preacher. What has God laid hold of you for? What was it? For me, it was to provide for my family, too. Whatever it took. Reach and risk. I'll give you another one. 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7. I love this scripture. We'll put that under risk because it's Jonathan and his armor bearer. I can't set the whole stage. We wouldn't have time. But anyway, he says to the armor bearer, young man, he says, "Come with me. Let's go out and go over to the garrison of the Philistines, and let's just see if God's with us. And if they come out and answer a certain way, we're going to whip them. And if they come out and answer a different way, we're not going to go over to them." Now, that's pretty bold. Now, we're not talking, should we share with this person or not? We're talking, are we going to live or not? And so they go out, and his statement is, it doesn't matter to God. He can deliver us with many, or he can deliver with a few. It's all in his hands. And he risked. And the story turned out pretty good. He went out. They responded the way he felt like that was God was with them. And so he and his armor bearer go across the ravine into the garrison of the Philistines and whip up on them. And set them to flight. It's a great story, you know. It's a great story. Risk. Grace. Reach. Risk. What are we going to do with O? Overcome. Overcome. I am concerned. I get concerned about myself because we live in such a comfortable society. You know, did you listen to that schedule Pastor Joe has today? Wow. I mean, that's great. I believe God will be with them, help them, we'll pray, we'll see wonderful things out of it. But I've got to get through two sermons. I got to do this again. Not much, is it? I can't remember the meeting we were in. We were sitting and talking around the table, and Pastor Joe was talking about someone, and this situation wasn't here. It was just in general. And There's just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another that this family was facing. And I looked over at him and I said, you know, I really don't have any problems. I really don't. I think I do, but maybe, I know, comparisons are dangerous, but maybe it isn't as bad as I think. Overcome. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, love not their lives even unto death. In our comfortable society, we've kind of lost, and maybe it's just me, but it seems we've lost that sense of there is something to overcome yet. There is something to push through. There is an overcoming. There is a victory to embrace. Now, the victory's won. I'm not saying that Jesus' victory was not complete. It absolutely is complete. But if we want to enjoy all that victory is, there's going to be some times that we are going to have to overcome. Do we need... how do I say this? Okay, I'll say it. I'll just say it. I think we need the ministry of the Father. But also along with the ministry of the mother. We need the mothering side of God, if you will. Stay with me. Don't run away from me yet. I know it sounds strange. We need that soothing, caring, crawl on my lap idea. We hear it a lot. Here it is. It's, oh, I'm comforted. I'm good. Okay. We need that. I'm not making fun. We need that. But you know what we need too? We need a little bit of dad that says, get up, son. Dust yourself off. Get up. Let's go. Get on the track. Let's go. I grew up riding horses, working in the filling station. I got the bumps, the crooks, and the scars to show the horse upbringing anyway. And, you know, I fell off. I got bucked off. I got stepped on, bucked off, all those things that you do when you're around them. You know what, Dad? Dad always checked, make sure you're okay. And then he, you know what his next words always were? Made me so mad. Get back on. Because if you don't get back on, there will come a day you might not ever get back on. We need the fatherly ministry of God. We need to be open to that. That comes along and just says, okay, dust you off. You're okay? Get back on. How many of you have played junior high or high school football? Ever heard of the 30-second injury? Oh, I'm dying. He ran over. He smashed me. Coach comes up to you. 30 seconds. Go. Back in there. You say, oh, that's mean. That's life. And so we do. We need to overcome. I don't mean we need to be harsh. I'm not saying we need to be severe with each other. God is not severe with us. But we need to be willing to get up, dust off, and go, okay, for this I was called. For this I can do. Whatever this may be. I'm not trying to project me to you. I'm just saying what's in your heart, what's there. Have you stumbled? Sometimes, well, not sometimes, we all stumble, we all slip and fall, but there's a time then, okay, let's get up, here we go, let's go again, overcome. A couple of more scriptures, I'll just give them to you, you can run them through. Romans 5, 1 through 5, and I want to read to you 1 Timothy 6, I only have one more letter, so we might be okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Romans 5, 1 through 5, for your notes, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And I apologize. I'm reading New American Standard this morning, so if that's thrown you off, I apologize. 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Paul to Timothy, young preacher, young pastor, young leader, Paul to his son in the faith, saying, Timothy, you know, he said over here, don't let them despise your youth. Fight the good fight of faith. I heard someone say once, a good fight is one you win. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight. Take hold. Take hold. Don't wait until you think you have it all figured out to take hold. Take hold of what you know. Say, well, you know, Ray, once I figured out how the dragon and the bear and who they are and what that where that happens in Revelation and how this all comes to pass, when I got that figured out, man, I'm going to lock down on this and I'm going to do what God called me to do. Please don't let me discourage you, but you ain't never going to get there. Take hold of what you got now so you have a foundation to stand on for the next piece you figure out. God shows you. I should say it that way. God shows you. You don't, well, we figure a few things out, and then God expands it. Take hold. Overcome. So grace, reach, risk, overcome. You will grow. Maybe all this is fertilizer for you this morning, but if that works, good. W, last one. Worship. 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 Let's say what worship isn't. Worship is not the song service. I mean, I love the song. I love to sing. I love music. We grew up with, we did everything we could to have music in our kids' ears all the time. We love, it's a part of our lives. I love singing. I have loved over the years the different kind of waves that have come through the church and the different kind of worship that's come through. Now, I have my preferences, as do you, but I guess maybe I am kind of old. I'm having a hard time keeping up with some of the newer stuff. And I grew up, I came up through when we did choruses. Three-fourths of the scriptures I know because I sang them every Sunday for at least an hour and a half. You know, we were long haulers, we thought. But worship is not just singing. Worship is every bit of your life. Worship is when we go out of here and what you do with the rest of the day. It's not, don't go weird on me. You know, it's not, you got to sit in a corner and, you know, hum songs or something. But it's what you do, everything you do. When you clock in tomorrow morning at that job, if that's what you do, that's worship. When you finish that project, I'm going to do it. When you go out, and you're leaving church as a couple, if you're a couple, and you as a guy walk over and open the door for your wife. That's a form of worship. Because you are saying, this person you gave me, God, thank you. I will do my part to take care of. And vice versa. You think we ought to open the door for our wives? That's kind of backward and sexist, isn't it? So what? I think you ought to do it. I do. I think husbands ought to romance their wives to the grave. Just my opinion. Worship. Now that must have meant something else to you too. Oh, that's probably, maybe that's superficial. But everything you do is worship. It's everything you do. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll close with a couple of scriptures. verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. There was a book written years and years ago. Mike, you'll probably remember it. Prison to Praise. Merlin Crothers? Did Merlin do that one? Was that it?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Oh, man, I am old. This guy came, something, the light came on. And I don't know if it was theologically 100% running down the track. I don't know, but it changed his world, and it changed a lot of worlds for people that read that book. And he just simply took the scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when difficulty comes, give thanks. Worship. When good things happen, worship. That's when it's easy. When bad things happen, worship. Offer up to God, because when you do that, you are saying, this circumstance, this situation, this event is not permanent. You, O Lord, are. You are permanent. And I will trust you. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 through verse 5. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. I don't know a whole lot about the book of Revelation. I don't even claim to understand. But you know what I see going on in Revelation? I see a whole lot of worship. I see these critters flying around with eyes front and back and all this stuff. I don't even know how to describe them all. But what are they doing? Worship. All the time. If you want to grow, become a worshiper, become a praiser, become a, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And you will keep right on pushing up. Nothing will be able to stop you. Not because you are so much or I am so much, but because he who has called you, he who has equipped you, he who has given his life for you is everything. He's everything. Let me pray for you. Come down here. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the patience of your people. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. I ask, Father, now that by your Spirit, take this word, break it apart, feed it into us, allow us to grab it. Lord, I don't know where everyone is, but you do. Lord, you know the needs that I can't even conceive or articulate, but your word will fill and fit and feed those needs. I ask, Lord, bless your people with your word today. Let it not fall to the ground in nothingness. Let it, Lord, prosper and go. Let it go forth and prosper and do what you would have it do in your people. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to come to the table. And it's a table of growth. It's a table of perseverance. It's a gift. It's a comfort. And it's an enablement. And as we remember the sacrifice that was made for us, you can draw from that so much. So Let's do it. Let's just come before the Lord. Come, brothers, musicians. And I'll pray one more time once they get here. Father, you spoke to us, and Jesus, you said that as often as we do this in remembrance, to remember what you've done. And so, Father, as we take this bread and we dip it in this wine, we ask, Lord, that you would cause it to come alive for each one of us. Again, to feed into us where it's needed, that we might have all sufficiency, all grace, to do that which you've called us to do. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Yeah. Well, before we go, as we go, we're going to have fellowship back where we always do. There's coffee and who knows what all. But before you go, if you need prayer, if you're saying, Ray, I want to grow, I need somebody to stand with me right here with this one thing, or multitude of things, it doesn't matter, then we're here to pray. There are those that'll come up, they'll be here, they've committed themselves to stand with you and pray. We want to do that. We want to see you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Father, thank you again for your people. Bless them as they go. Be with them. Father, bless them as they go out. Bless them as they come in. Bless them in the field. Bless them in the street. May your blessing abide upon them at every turn, with every breath. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come if you need prayer. Thank you. Blessings all.